The Last Romantics, a novel by Tara Conklin, performed by Cassandra Campbell. Behind the cotton wool is hidden a pattern, that we, I mean all human beings, are connected with this, that the whole world is a work of art, that we are parts of the work of art. Hamlet or a Beethoven quartet is the truth about this vast mass that we call the world. But there is no Shakespeare, there is no Beethoven. Certainly and emphatically, there is no God. We are the words. We are the music. We are the thing itself. Virginia Woolf, Moments of Being. Wait, they don't love you like I love you. Yeah, yeah, yeahs. Year 2079. At first, I believed the girl to be an apparition, a ghost. She rose from the crowd in the auditorium and walked to the microphone. I remained very still. For the past 90 minutes, I had been seated on stage to discuss my body of work. As much as I dread large crowds, the event had been a success. The audience was respectful, intelligent, curious. I'd even made them laugh. That joke about the frog, of all things. We heard the sirens only once, a brief wail during which I paused my reading. We all waited, the thousand here in the auditorium and the thousands more watching via satellite and DTR. We waited, and then the sirens quieted, and I resumed with my poem. Afterward, the questions. So many questions. My first public event in 25 years. Of course there would be questions, but I was not prepared for the intensity, the thoroughness with which these people had read my work. It still surprises me now, 80 years into this literary experiment, that my words might mean something to anyone other than myself. I am 102 years old and a poet of some renown. My name is Fiona Skinner. When the girl stepped forward, my attention was elsewhere, my energy low. I wondered what snack Henry had waiting for me backstage and hoped it was the candy with the peanut butter in the center, my favorite. My thoughts fixed on other comforts, the tall, soft bed in my house in the mountains, the river stocked with trout, the deep, cold well, the generator with its soothing hum. We never heard the sirens there. No, the nearest town was too far. It was a safe place, our house, a place beyond the reach of politics and rising oceans. At least, that's what I chose to believe. It's possible to exist under any number of illusions, to believe so thoroughly in the presence of things you cannot see, safety, God, love, that you impose upon them physical shapes, a bed, a cross, a husband. But ideas willed into being are still ideas and just as fragile. The girl at the microphone was an arresting sight. Slender and tall, a dark bob cut short and sharp to her chin. She looked 18, perhaps 20 years old. Not a girl then, nearly a woman. The crowd was silent. She coughed into her hand. "Ms. Skinner," she began. "My name is Luna." "Luna," I said, and my voice caught, my breath stilled. For a moment, I traveled back all those years to a different place and time. At last, I thought, Luna has returned. "Yes, my mother named me after the last line of the love poem," she said. "Oh, of course," I smiled. Henry had told me about this, the popularity of the name. The love poem had that effect on some readers. They wanted to keep a piece of it. And here was one of those babies, now grown, standing before me. Another Luna. The girl's face was half in shadow. I saw a mole high on her right cheek, about the size of a dime. A birthmark. A dark kiss. "My mother always wanted to ask you about the name."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?